is like a meat grinder.
We're not miniaturized yet.
General Phillips, when was the Apollo spacecraft system conceived?
Studies were conducted on a national basis in the late 50s and very early 60s, dealing with the feasibility of carrying out a manned lunar landing and return mission. These studies culminated in 1961 in the President's decision and announcement that a manned lunar landing and return would be established as a national goal, and the program to carry out that objective then was assigned to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Now, NASA, based on the President's decision and the establishment of the program, proceeded with studies to identify the configuration and the conceptual system that would be required to carry out the lunar landing. This study of what the system would have to be did move rapidly in that time period and led to a series of contracts involving engines, launch vehicle stages, and led by the latter part of 1961 to a contract with the North American Aviation Company to design, develop, and build the Apollo spacecraft. Now, at that time, the system that had been conceived to carry out the mission still had some options. The options included a system that would require rendezvousing equipment in Earth orbit to build up enough equipment for the lunar mission, involved possibilities of a direct landing on the lunar surface and direct takeoff, involved possibilities of a lunar orbit rendezvous operation. Those options were studied further and led to decisions in 1962 which specified that the system would be designed to carry out the manned lunar landing using rendezvous of spacecraft in orbit about the moon. The so-called lunar orbit rendezvous mode then was adopted as the means of carrying out the mission.
It would have taken much more power for a straight-in type system, wouldn't it? Wasn't that really the essential reason for choosing that mode?
Well, power was one of the considerations. Power and size go together. Size was a factor. Also, the projected reliability of equipment translated into how people would build things and then deliver reliability was a factor. In any case, the 1962 decision, which selected the mode, then established the need for an element of the spacecraft, which became known originally as the Lunar Excursion Module. And that spacecraft was put on contract after a competition with the Grumman Company in New York to design, develop, and build.
While it's fresh in your mind, I'm going to ask you to rephrase it just a little differently because I can see where I'd want. Would you say for me that, prefacing it with, since we decided that we would go toward the lunar orbiting method, mm-hmm. then it led to the lunar.
Well, based on the decision to carry out the mission using the lunar orbit rendezvous mode, a competition was held which resulted in the selection of the Grumman Company to design, develop, and build the lunar excursion module of the spacecraft. So I think you can say that the full system design of the Apollo spacecraft was pretty well set then in 1963. Work, I would say, over the next 2 years, involving really the years 1963 and 1964, were to carry preliminary designs into final designs. So that I'd say that it was in the latter part of 1964 that the design of the total Apollo spacecraft, involving also the lunar module, came into shape.
And this is the one that I know you're an old hand at. And if you would go, just rehash for me, compare the complexity of Apollo, the Apollo systems, to Gemini and Mercury. I know you've done this many times. I couldn't find it on tape anymore. I'll go ahead and ask you the question. General Phillips, would you compare the complexity of this Apollo equipment to that used in Mercury and Gemini?
Well, a direct comparison isn't immediately at hand, but let me say this about it. The Apollo spacecraft will weigh approximately 100,000 pounds at the point of its injection into a translunar trajectory. In other words, the launch vehicle will have finished its job when it boosts roughly 100,000 pounds on its way to the moon. Gemini was much less than 10,000 pounds in its ultimate configuration. I think the maximum gross weight of Gemini at Earth orbital insertion was of the order of 7,000 pounds or so. The maximum weight of Mercury in Earth orbit was of the order of 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. So there's one comparison of complexity, because just compare the weights and translate that into pieces of metal and electronic components, and orders of magnitude emerge then in comparing the three vehicles. We have racked up some statistics on parts counts, considering moving parts and electronic parts, which shows that Apollo has orders of magnitude more parts that all have to work for a completely successful mission than a Gemini. And in turn, a Gemini, like 10 times as many parts as a Mercury.
You didn't say how many times Gemini. Did you mean to?
Could we hold here a second?
Yeah. Going on there, the comparison. Just start.
Well, let's briefly compare these three manned spacecraft on three parameters. One is weight, another is parts count, and another is mission complexity. The Apollo, at the time, at the point of injection toward the moon, will weigh about 100,000 pounds. Gemini, at its maximum gross weight in Earth orbit, was less than 10,000 pounds, and Mercury, at its maximum gross weight, was well less than 5,000 pounds. So here you can see a factor of 10 to 1 weight-wise between Apollo and Gemini, and a factor of at least 20 to 1 between Apollo and Mercury. Now, in parts count, this gets to be a little bit more difficult to define precisely. Yet, if you count the moving parts and the electronic components in the various spacecraft, you find a parts count which says that Apollo is more than 10 times more complex than Gemini, and in turn more than 20 times as complex as Mercury. Now, neither of these really face the question of mission complexity. In Apollo, the operations in which the crew will have to perform precisely as a part of the man-machine loop are quite intricate. For example, The crew will make the final selections, decisions, and probably maneuvers connected with actually touching down on the lunar surface. So you have a very intricate man-machine relationship, which was not nearly so important in the earlier programs. And if you think through the many, many steps that comprise the lunar mission and the intricate details associated with preparing for each of the maneuvers and propulsive events that lead to the completion of the total lunar landing mission, and compare those with the most complex maneuvers carried out in Gemini, there's at least a factor of 10 or more difference in the mission complexity. Now, I think I'm being generous toward the earlier spacecraft in using only a factor of 10. I think if one had a really good objective way to make the comparison, you would conclude that Apollo is much more than 10 times more complex than its forerunners.
General Phillips, after a decade of research and development, we're now beginning the flights, which will eventually culminate in man exploring the moon. Would you reflect for us on the significance of this program and on what we might expect in the future?
Well, looking ahead beyond the completion of the Apollo program, as marked by a successful landing of men on the moon and return, I would expect and am excited by the prospects of what may emerge in the way of exploiting this tremendous capability that we have built and are building, and I think in the months ahead will demonstrate. I think this capability will be exploited, this new medium will be exploited for the betterment of mankind on Earth, and that we'll see systems of transportation. We'll see exploitation of this medium, this equipment, space operations in connection with communications as well. I expect also that there'll be major commercial interests that will start to use the space medium that we're developing for the economic gains and betterment that result in or lead to betterment of mankind. For example, there's great potential using space for understanding and mapping the Earth's resources, and the ultimate economic gains that result therefrom, I think, are matters of clearly recorded economic history. On a somewhat different plane, and also very exciting, is exploration, pioneering. I fully expect in years ahead to see us exploring the planets, and who knows but that we'll find ourselves involved in pioneering efforts to expand man's living boundaries beyond the Earth, possibly to the moon, possibly beyond.